This morning, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we will use as a platform for the word that God has deposited in my spirit and given me permission to pour in your spirit this morning. The first passage is our sermonic passage. We find it in the book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews number 10, Lord. Chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 35 to 38. And then for our collateral passage, we'll stay in Hebrews. This time we will go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. But right now, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we will begin from verse number 35. Now, this sitting down and preaching thing, I'm trying to get used to it, but it's really difficult, Elder Landry. You know, I love standing and moving and walking, but COVID-19 has restricted us to a chair. We got this new normal, preaching while sitting. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 35. I'm going to come from the King James version of the Bible, and you can follow along in any version that you choose. Hebrews 10, 35. And it reads, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Yes, sir.
For just a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not perish."
That's right.
"Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Hallelujah. Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter number 11. And verse number 1. Hebrews 11:1 reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." Hallelujah. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Pray with me this morning. Yahweh, once again, the hour is come that your son Yeshua must be lifted up. For Yeshua said, "And if I be lifted up, Yeshua will draw men or women, all boys and all girls unto me." So lift Jesus up again this morning. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. Beloved, for the time that is allotted to us to share in the word of God this morning, I want to speak to us from the topic, "It's a marathon. You won't make it if you are using a sprint mindset. It's America. You won't make it if you are using a sprint mindset. Beloved, the book of Hebrews, which is really a sermon in a form of a letter to those who were Hebrew Christians, was intended to be preached to those Jewish believers. Elder Wilson, those Hebrew believers who had now left their Jewish worship tradition and had turned, accepted, and were now followers of the way. They were called followers of the way because Yeshua, the God-man who had come to bring us back into fellowship and make atonement for us, bring us back into oneness with God, had declared in John 14 and verse 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so these believers call themselves the people of the way. A matter of fact, they were called people of the way until in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, in the city of Antioch, when the name Christian was attached to them. But before that experience in Antioch, they were called people of the way.
Yes, Lord.
These people of the way, Elder Landry, had left everything. They had given up the traditions of their forebear. They had turned from their Jewish religious beliefs. And now we're following this man called Jesus.
Yes, sir.
They had stopped sacrificing barnyard cattle and lambs and goats. They had stopped waving the grain before the altar. They had stopped doing the works that were demanded by the laws of Moses to prove and to validate their faithfulness to Yahweh. And now they were converted to this man called Jesus, who said that he was now the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. This Yeshua, who now had taken away the sins of the world, and they didn't have to do all of those things that the Mosaic tradition demanded. But all they had to do now was to have faith in Yeshua. Oh, my beloved, these believers started having problems. They heard and believed Yeshua when he declared in John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I, Yeshua, will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But instead of Jesus coming back, the time began to go by so slowly, and many of their fellow believers were being murdered by the Roman Empire. They were seeing death right before their eyes. They heard and believed Jesus when he said, and it's recorded in John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace. Yes, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, but instead of having peace, they were running from one city to another for fear of the Jewish Sanhedrins who were chasing them from one city and one town to another, persecuting them and encouraging Rome to destroy them. They had heard and believed Yeshua at the event of his ascension, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and all through Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." But what they experienced, beloved, was the scorn and the mockery of those that they had tried to witness to and try to see that they receive also the power of the Holy Ghost and get converted to the faith. But instead of that, these people that they tried to witness to and share their faith with were mocking them. Come on now. Were scorning them and laughing at them. They had to lose the love of loved ones who had turned from them, families who had forsaken them, leadership in government who had disenfranchised them and allowed them to suffer poverty, allowed them to suffer the wrath of the state. They were not enjoying any of the promises that Jesus had made, and so it seemed.
Make it plain, Pastor.
And beloved, this thing called Christianity was no longer proving to be what it had advertised. And these people were becoming weak in their faith. They were becoming discouraged. They were thinking about throwing in the towel and going back to their old ways of thinking and their old ways of worshiping. And the apostle, recognizing the struggle of these Hebrew Christians, these former Jewish worshipers who had now become followers of the way, the apostle, recognizing their struggle, decided, "I need to share a word with these believers that will encourage them and will strengthen them and will let them know that faith is not rational."
All right.
That faith is not rational, that you cannot authenticate faith by some scientific evidence and some rational evidences, but that faith is the substance, oh bless God, of things hoped for, the evidence of things on sin. I need to let them know, bless God, that those who have faith and all of those who believe the promises of Yahweh did not receive the promise while they were down here, but they didn't give up on their faith because they looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. And if you are going to be able to make it through these times of disappointments and persecution and devastating pandemic and pestilences, if you are going to make it in this time, you have to realize that this Christian soldier, this Christian walk, is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and you will not be able to make it if you come to it with a sprint mentality. Is anybody listening to me?
Preacher.
Oh, beloved, the preacher was saying to them and is saying to us today, Sister Wilson, that we as Christians and we as believers and we as followers of the way will deal yes. with some of the same problems that the wicked and those that do not know Jesus will deal with, because we are not home. We are in this world, and this world will not treat us right. And so we will get sick,
that's right.
we will die, we will get broke, we will lose our jobs, we will lose loved ones, our families will turn their backs on us, we will lose homes, we will not be, I wish somebody would hear me today. But if we are going to be able to make it, then we must understand faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we have not seen yet. We have to stay in the marathon, because one day, like the song said this morning, we shall wear a crown when this battle, hallelujah, is over. Turn to your neighbor and it's a marathon.
It's a marathon.
Oh, beloved, I want you to come with me this morning as we walk through this text before us.
Yes.
And experience four inspiring truths that this preacher, this apostle, this writer of the letter to the Hebrews pens in this passage.
Yes,
that
sir.
Was intended to reboot the faith of the believers of the way. And I believe will reboot our faith, especially in the times in which we live. Because if there was ever a time, beloved, that we needed to have faith in Yeshua, faith in the word of Yahweh, our God and our maker, that time is now.
That's right.
Four inspiring truths. Four inspiring truths. The first inspiring truth that the preacher shares with these believers and is sharing with us is the counsel to continue with conviction in the faith. I'm going to say that again. The counsel to continue with conviction in the faith. We find this counsel in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. This is how he writes it. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. The key word that the preacher uses in this counsel, Elder Landry, is the word confidence.
Yes,
and that
sir.
Word confidence, beloved, comes from the Greek word parousia. And parousia actually means to speak, oh, bless God, with confidence. It means to speak with authority. And what the preacher was trying to tell the Hebrew believers and is saying to you and I today is that we should not stop speaking the promises of God and begin speaking doubt. Because words are powerful. Words can influence people for good or for ill. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 26 that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so the preacher is saying to you and me that we should not allow negative words and negative people to surround and to be a part of our atmosphere.
That's right.
The Bible says in John 1 and verse 1 and 2 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3 said all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. And then the Bible says in verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Word became flesh, thank God, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved, everything that you see that God created was created by the spoken word. And the Bible says that the word now dwells in us, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, bless God, of the Son of God who gave himself for me. And because it was word that spoke the sun into his place and the moon and the stars into space. It was word that spoke this gigantic universe into place and this world and the oceans and the mountains. Because it was word that spoke the animals and the cattle and the fowls and the fishes. Because it was word. God has given us that word. And beloved, we cannot allow negative words to proceed out of our mouths. We have say, like David in Psalms 119, I will not die, but live and declare the power of God. When people come to you with negative words, when they come to you talking about, look at you now, you joined that church, you were paying your tithe, you quit your job because you wanted to keep the Sabbath, look at you now, you don't have anything, you lost everything. Don't allow those words to be embedded and consume your spirit. Turn to them and tell them words like, he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we can boldly say, the Lord is on our side. Whom shall we fear? Whatever man tries to do to us. You have to speak the word of confidence. High five your neighbor and say, speak words of power and truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So the preacher says to these Hebrew believers, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't allow negative words to profuse and to contaminate your atmosphere, but speak words of life speak words
of truth. Yes, sir.
Speak words of confidence.
That's right.
Don't be negative in your speech. The second inspiring truth that this preacher shares with this church and is sharing with us today, beloved, is the consequence for continuing in the faith. Somebody needs to write that down. The consequence for continuing in the faith. We find that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. He says, for ye have need, oh bless God, of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye will receive the promise, or ye might receive the promise. This is the consequence of continuing in the faith. You have a promise that is made to you and me that we will receive if we have patience.
If we have patience.
We have need to have patience. In other words, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. And you can't come to a marathon with a sprint mentality. That is, this is not a 100-yard dash and a 50-yard dash. No, no, no. This is a marathon. And when you come to a marathon, you got to come for the long haul. It takes patience. The word he uses for patience, Elder Mac Carter, is the word hupomone. Hupomone is the contraction of two Greek words. The preposition hypo, which means to be under or to be behind, under constraint. And the verb mene, which means to remain. Hupomone, patience in the King James. It means to be weighed under the weight of loyalty to God, or to be willing to follow behind Yahweh wherever he's leading you, and be constrained not to go to the left or to go to the right, but to stay faithfully following him. That's what this preacher means when he says, ye have need of patience. Ye have need of hypomene. You need to be able to stay under the weight of your loyalty to the kingdom. Oh yeah, things are going to get terrible. Things are going to turn ugly. Things are going to go the way you didn't expect them to go. Like Elder Landry said last Wednesday, we started this year with the theme, expect the great in 2020. And for the first 3 months, everything looked like we were going right uphill or just climbing and expecting the great. And by the time we hit March, we came sinking down like a plane dropping from the air. Oh, beloved, you cannot throw in the towel. You cannot wave the white flag of surrender. You cannot let words of discouragement from people around you who do not see with the eyes of faith discourage you, and you begin to speak like them. The preacher said, you have need of Hypomene, you have need of patience. You have need of staying constrained under the weight of your loyalty to the kingdom of God. Yes. That's what he means by patience.
Yes.
He begins, beloved, with a counsel to stay faithful, continue faithful to the convictions of the faith.
That's right.
And then he continues by telling us the consequences of being faithful to the conviction of the faith. And then number three, he gives us the consolation that encourages our faithfulness. Oh, bless God. The preacher said, let me console you. I know things are not looking the way you want it to look. I know people are laughing at you and saying you are fooled to be a follower of Jesus and to be faithful at a time such as this. But let me give you some consolation. I don't know about you this morning, but I need some consolation. We find that consolation in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37, when the preacher writes, "For he that shall come," oh bless God, "will come and will not tarry." I don't know where you are this morning in your life experience, but I'm so glad and I thank God for our praise team this morning that the Holy Spirit used to share this song. When this battle is over.
That's right.
Not if this battle is over.
That's
but
right.
When this battle is over. Man. That's a guarantee that this battle will be over.
Yes, it will.
We shall wear the crown. The preacher said, "He that shall come will come and will not tarry."
That's what he said.
Oh, beloved, that's why Jesus said in Revelation, when he shares the revelation with John in chapter 22 and verse 11, he said, "Behold," oh, bless God, "I come quickly and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." In other words, he is coming back, beloved. And we have to believe that and hang in there, because sprinters will not be able to make it. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 13. "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Hallelujah. Oh, beloved, you and I have to endure to the end. We have to make it to the end. We got to hold on. We have to allow ourselves to be weighed down and constrained by the weight of our loyalty to the kingdom of God.
Come on.
And so I'm glad that he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And beloved, if there was ever a time for us to believe that Jesus is coming soon, the time is now. The songwriter says signs of the times are everywhere.
That's right.
There's a brand new feeling in the air. So keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. I don't know if That's you right. heard the news this week, but while this world is dealing with a pandemic in Beirut, Lebanon, there was an explosion.
Yes,
that took the lives of so many people and wounded so many thousands and shook that city of Beirut.
That's right.
While we're in the midst of a pandemic, there was a tropical depression that turned into a category one that went across the eastern seaboard. While pandemic is going on. Oh, beloved, signs of the times are everywhere. If we don't need to draw back, we don't need to throw in the white flag of surrender. We don't need to give up our faith right now. What we need to do is to shout it from the mountaintop, lift up the trumpet, and let it ring. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. Is anybody listening to me this morning? Praise. Jesus is coming again, beloved. Jesus is coming again. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And the only way you're going to make it, if you do not cast out your confidence, which has great recompense of reward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the fourth and final inspiring truth that the preacher gives us is the contrast between the faithful and the fault finders. I'm going to say that again. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to write that down. The contrast between the faithful and the fault finders. The preacher says, now the just shall live by faith.
That's right.
But if any man draws back, my soul, Yahweh said, shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 35:38. This is the contrast between the faithful and the fault finder. The faithful, Hebrews 10:38, the faithful shall live, or the just shall live by their faith.
Yes.
In other words, everything that's happening to the wicked in these times of pestilences and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and these times of wickedness and false prophets, these times the faithful will have some of the same experiences of the wicked.
Yes.
But it is the faith, oh bless God, of the wicked, of the faithful, that will see them through these times.
Yes, sir.
The apostle, recognizing this, because he was a student of the word, he had read the story and the life experience and prophecy of the prophet Habakkuk.
Yes, sir.
And the experience in Habakkuk's own time of all of the troubles that they were seeing, but Yahweh told Habakkuk in Habakkuk 2:4 that the just shall live by faith.
Yes, sir.
Paul takes this idea, borrows this idea from Habakkuk, and shares it throughout the New Testament to encourage the New Testament believers and to encourage you and I. He shares it in Hebrews 10:38 when he says, now the just shall live by faith. He shares it with the Roman church, the Christians in Rome, in Romans 1:17 when he says, and this is the evidence of the righteousness of God, which goes from faith to faith. as it is written, written where? In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, that the just shall live by faith.
That's right.
He shares this again with the Christians in Galatia. When he says, yeah, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, but we know that no man is judged righteous before God according to the law, as it is shown that the just shall live by faith. What makes the just just? Oh, beloved, the just is not just because of what they do, but just is just because of whom they believe in and what they are waiting for with so much passion and intensity, because Yahweh, through the blood of Yeshua, has justified them.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
And so now they believe in the sacrificial death and burial and resurrection of Yeshua. They believe that he is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions for them. And they believe that he is coming again soon, as he promised he would. And because of their belief, God has justified them, not because of their works, but because of his work. He has clothed them in righteousness. And that's what you and I are today, beloved. We are justified. And because we are justified, we cannot cast away our confidence. We have to hold on to the faith that he that shall come and will not tarry. We have to stand firm though the storm come.
That's right.
Oh, beloved, the just who lives by their faith are those who are not measuring their worth and their relationship with God based on the size of their acreage, or the size of their home, the year and model of their car, and the size of their bank book and their bank account. They do not measure their faith in their relationship with God and God's love for them based on how healthy they are, or on how accomplished their children and their family are. No, no, no. Their confidence is in the fact that they look for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is the Lord. These are the just.
Yes, sir.
These are the ones who say, like Job, though he slays me, oh, bless his name, will I trust it. These are the just ones. And Paul is saying to you and I this morning, we have to hold on to our faith. The just shall live by faith. He talks about the faithful, because they are full of the faith that says Yahweh is sovereign, that he is no divine bellhop that just jumps when the bell is rung, that he does what he does, how he does, where he does, with whom he does, for whatever purpose he chooses to do it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So he says the just, during these times of crises and pandemic, shall live by their faith.
Yes.
But those who turn back, those who draw back, those who throw up their hands and say, no more. He said, God will have no pleasure in them. They are the fault finders. Beloved, they are the ones who are always complaining about what they don't have and what they should
have. Mercy.
They're the ones, Elder Landry, that are always complaining about who's talking about them and what they're saying. They're the ones who are quick to leave church and go running and looking for another church when things doesn't go their way. They're the ones who are always blaming and complaining about the preacher and about the members and about what the church is not doing and what the church should do, but they don't do anything. They're the ones who do not study their word for themselves, but they come to be to watch a performance by the pastor and to be spoon-fed by the preacher. They're the ones who complain when the sermon doesn't make them shout hallelujah, even though it is a sermon that's telling them they need to turn from their wicked way. They're the ones who are always upset when they lose their job, because they paid their tithe, and so they should get a raise instead of losing. They are the ones who give up when they lose a significant other, when they lose a child, when they lose a husband, a wife, when they lose a friend. They are the ones that's always just in a fetal position, thinking the whole world has turned on them, and they have no more reason to believe in God. They are the fault finders.
Have mercy, have mercy.
Oh, believer, when Jesus comes again, there are going to be only two groups of people on this planet: the faithful and the fault finders. There's no in between. Don't believe that thing about purgatory. There's no place where you wait until you get cleaned up or somebody pray you out. No, that's a lie from the devil. There are going to be only two groups of people when Jesus comes back: the faithful and the fault.
Yes.
And my question to you today is, are you faithful? Oh, bless God. Yes. Or are you a fault finder? Has COVID-19 pinned you against the wall so hard that you don't seem to believe what you used to believe a few years ago? Has this pandemic caused you to be stuck in your home, lose your business, lose your job, lose a loved one to death, and you're so discouraged you can't even sing anymore, you can't even pray anymore, you can't even come on a prayer line or Zoom in or go on Facebook or YouTube and be a part of all of these worship experiences all over the place? And have you allowed yourself to be a fault finder? Oh, yes, Bill. This is a real difficult time. I'll be the first to confess that we're going through some Christians, because Jesus himself told us in John chapter 16 and verse number 33 when he said, in this life, oh bless his name, ye shall, not ye might or ye may, no. In this life ye shall have tribulations, but be of good courage. Oh, bless God. Be of good cheer, Jesus said, because I have overcome the world.
That's right.
So, beloved, the preacher recognized in what the Hebrew believers were going through, and now what we are going through in our time, gave them four inspiring truths, and he's given it to us today. Truth number one: the counsel to stay under the covenant and conviction of your faith.
Yes.
Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. Inspiration right. Number two, the consequences for continuing in the conviction of your faith. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Inspiration number three, the consolation for continuing in the faith. For he that shall come will come and will not tarry, beloved. And inspiration number four, the contrast between the faithful and the fault finders. Now the just, bless God, shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, beloved, we have these four inspiring truths to help us to make it through this marathon, to hold on to our faith. Oh, beloved, in 1968, during the Summer Olympics in Mexico City, Mexico, a 30-year-old Tanzanian who was sent by his country to represent them in the marathon at that Summer Olympics of 1968, by the name of John Stephen Okuri, arrived in Mexico City. And during the competition, he caught a cramp in his leg because of the elevation of the city of Mexico City. You see, beloved, he came from Tanzania where there was a low elevation, but he had come to a place where it was a high elevation, and he was not used to the terrain. Yes, he had trained, but he had trained in another country. And he was now in a foreign country, a country that was not his. And his body was not used to the terrain of that country. And so his feet got cramped up. Oh, beloved, I stopped by to tell you that we are not in our own country. This world is not our home. We are just traveling through our treasures or lay up somewhere beyond the blue. We are in another country that we do not understand. Our bodies cannot get adjusted to the terrains. And so every now and again, we get cramped up. We get cramped up in this marathon, on this marathon as we are in this race. We get cramped up with sickness. We get cramped up with family issues. We get cramped up with diseases. We get cramped up with losing jobs. We get cramped up with being broke, busted, and sometimes disgusted. We get cramped up with people talking about us. We get cramped up with people turning their backs on us. We get cramped up with the government and the leadership disenfranchising us because we are not of this world, but we are of another world. We get cramped up, but we got to keep moving. Oh, the story is told that John Stephen Okuri kept running even though he was cramped up. And at the 19th kilometer point of this 42 kilometer marathon, there were some runners that were jogging for a front runner spot, and one of them hit John Stephen Akure, and he fell and hit his knee on that rocky ground and twisted his kneecap and injured his shoulder blade. But John Stephen Akure did not stop. He kept going and going. And beloved, the winner got to the finish line of the 42-kilometer race, and they were in the stands. The medals were being given to the gold medalists and the silver medalists and the bronze medalists in about an hour, 5 minutes, and 2 seconds later, somebody looked down the road and they saw someone limping but coming, and they started shouting, there's still no runner that is coming toward the finish line. The television crews left the stand where they were given the medals, and they went to meet John Stephen Akure, and he came limping, he came hurting, he came with his face twisted in pain, but he made it to the finish line. And when the television newscasters asked him, why did you put yourself through all this pain to make it to the finish line in 1968 in Mexico City, Mexico, John Stephen Akure declared, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race. And I stopped by to tell somebody today that we need to be like John Stephen Akure. We can't just stop the race. We have to finish the race. Somebody need to hear me today. Oh, but I thank God that there's someone better than John Stephen Akure. His name is Yeshua, the Word who was made flesh and who dwells with us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He left his country, took all his glory, shed himself of his divinity, and put on humanity, came to this world that he was not used to this terrain. Oh, he loved the unlovable. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He caused the limb to walk again. Oh, beloved, they arrested him and charged him with love in the first degree. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. But when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was hit down, fell on the ground, wounded his knee, wounded his shoulder blade. He could have given up, called 10,000 angels to come rescue him and take him back home. But my Jesus said, I didn't leave my country. I didn't leave my Father's kingdom to come all the way down here to start a race. I came here to finish the race. And so he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He was waiting under the weight of his conviction and loyalty to the race. Oh, beloved, to put an old rugged cross on his back. He went falling, but getting up again. He went crawling toward Golgotha. They stretched him wide and hung him high. But before he hung his head to die, he declared, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Jesus finished the race. Oh, beloved, and because Jesus finished the race, you and I can run this race that we're in. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and you cannot win when you have a sprint mentality. So cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For just a little while, bless God, and and he that shall come will come and will not tarry, but the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I'm not turning back. I'm not drawing back. I'm not stopping. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back, but I am marching. I am moving. I am going forward. I say like Paul this morning, my brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, bless God, but this one thing I know, forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Is two or three people under the sound of my voice this morning can say, I'm pressing, I'm pushing, I'm moving, I'm not looking back, I'm not turning back. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon, and I'm going to make it because Jesus is with me. His Holy Spirit empowers me. His love is carrying me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Blind, but I'm going to make it. Crippled, but I'm going to make it. Hurt, but I'm going to make it. I will make it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Won't he do it for us? Yes, he will. Yes. Won't he come and get us? Yes, he will. Won't he hold us up? Yes, he will. Won't he take us to the promised land? Yes, he will. I know he will. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord.
I thank God.
Yeah. Yes, this he will.
Is not a sprint.
Yes, sir.
It is a marathon, and we will make it in this marathon. Oh, Yahweh,
yes, listen, Lord.
Today we praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. God, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that is struggling. God, they've lost some loved ones to COVID. God, they have families that are sick.
Yeah.
God, they're laid off. And the work miscompensation and all of the money they were getting, the unemployment check, God, has ceased. Yahweh, they don't know where to turn and who to turn to. The month has come to an end. The bills are due. Oh, God, but may they remember that you said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah.
God made this say, according to Hebrews 13 and 6. Therefore, yes, we can boldly say, the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man may do to us. Oh, God, touch this person today under the sound of my voice. That is dealing with issues that are scary. Oh God, remind them that you are in control.
Yeah.
That you have. Then I pray for that person, God, who do not know you.
That's right. Yes, that if
the agnostic, that person who is wondering, is there really a God? If there's a God, why is all of this going on? God, I pray that your spirit will draw that person today as you have drawn me and drawn your people. And God, let them know that you do live. God, may they find peace today. May they accept you today.
please.
Oh God, may they say after me right now, Yeshua, I believe that you are God. I believe that I am a sinner. I believe that you came and died to save me.
Yeah.
And I accept your death as the ransom for my sin. I believe that I'm now your child. In Jesus' name, God, save them. Amen. We pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.